This is the Muggo Story Podcast. My name is Sam Gropinski. Today's story is a little bit different than the usual things I'll put out there, but we'll just get right into it. Today's story is titled Muggo Kitchen Mishaps, Dark Chocolate Ganache Tart. Since March of this dreadful year, everybody's been forced to spend more time at home. There are pros and cons to this, of course, but one thing is for sure. The pace of life has slowed down a bit. So what have people been doing to fill their time? Frankly, that's not what this is about. It's about what I've been up to, which is to say, I write a food blog now. Not exclusively, by the way, and frankly, maybe never again, if you're familiar with some of the other failed content bits I've tried in the past. But with a little extra time around the house, I started to spend some time trying out new things in the kitchen. I love food. I love to cook. I love to eat. But what I'm really passionate about, unfortunately, is dessert. Now, this isn't ideal because I'm an endomorph, meaning I gain weight just walking past a donut shop. I could take a deep breath inside of a bakery and 2 pounds would somehow find a way to stick to my stomach. I'm the one guy who could go on the reality TV show Survivor and gain 15 pounds. I mean, everybody else would look emaciated and on death's door, and I would look fat and happy. I mean, it'd be miserable. Everybody would blame me for stealing the rice or whatever, and I'd get voted out in the final three. Just brutal being an endomorph. During the stay-at-home order, however, I found myself spending a lot more time running than I normally would. I tend to like boot camp-style workouts with my friends, and asthma tends to make running a chore, but with all that cardio training occurring, I was able to justify to myself the need for more calories. And before you get all self-righteous on me, look, I understand that's not the right way to go about exercise and diet. Just leave me alone. Anyway, I wanted to try a few things that are a little more technical. Baking brownies and cookies and cakes is fine, but I've been wanting to sharpen my technical skills a bit. So the dessert I tried this time around turned out pretty well, but there were a few things I got wrong that, had I not screwed up, would have taken it from incredible to life-changing. So let's dive in. What I made: dark chocolate ganache tart with a garnish of raspberries, pistachios, and sea salt. The ingredients for the base: 220 grams Oreo cookies or similar, 50 grams of unsalted butter melted, and a half teaspoon of salt. For the dark chocolate ganache filling: 600 grams dark chocolate, 70% cocoa, 500 grams whipping cream, 200 grams sugar, although you can omit that if you're using less than 50% cocoa chocolate, which, whatever. And then to finish the tart, 50 grams of unshelled pistachios, shelled and chopped, 100 grams of fresh raspberries, and coarse sea salt. Okay, so right off the bat, you might be able to tell that there's something completely wrong with this list of ingredients. If you're an American or have spent any time in an American's kitchen, you'll be a bit perplexed by the measurements listed. 600 grams of dark chocolate? 500 grams of whipping cream? Now, like, why would you measure liquid in grams? Even in the metric system, it should be listed as milliliters, right? This whole thing was bound for disaster. I spent at least 10 minutes on Google trying to determine how many teaspoons is the equivalent of 50 grams of butter. What might be even more moronic is that is the fact that I didn't bother to write down any of my conversions for the next time I make this. So I like this recipe, but I will definitely be finding a dumbed down, meaning imperial, version the next time I try it. Another thing that stood out to me, though, was the apparent simplicity of this dessert. The crust is 3 ingredients. The ganache is 3 ingredients. Even the garnish is 3 ingredients. How hard could this be? Getting started. The first task was putting together the crust. Now, this was a labor of love because it required me to work through an entire family-sized package of Oreo cookies, separating the actual cookie from the cream, and somehow denying myself the bliss of eating half a tray of Oreos in the process. It's cruel. In some parts of the country, you can buy pre-made Oreo cookie pie crusts, but I've never seen them in the stores in the South. Sacrilege, in my opinion. So So after 20 minutes of tedious work and tedious-er self-control, I had what seemed like several hundred cookie halves in the food processor. I needed 220 grams of Oreo crumbles. How the hell was I supposed to know that an entire package of Oreo cookies yields about 4 cups of Oreo crumbs? Turns out, 220 grams is about the same as 1 cup of crumbs. So guess who now has 3 cups of Oreo cookie crumbs in his freezer? Next, I had to figure out how much butter to use. 50 grams, turns out, is 3 9/16 tablespoons of butter. I rounded up to 4 because I'm a true American. You know what's really idiotic, though? This recipe calls for 220 grams of Oreo crumbs, 50 grams of butter, and wait for it, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Whoever came up with this recipe is a monster. For those of you wondering, by the way, 1/2 teaspoon of salt is about 3 grams, so there you go. Okay, so I threw the crumbs, melted butter, and salt into the food processor, pulsed it a few times, dumped it into my newly purchased tart tin, pressing it into a nice even layer, and then into the freezer it went while I moved on to the filling. The ganache. The first step was to melt 600 grams of dark chocolate in a double boiler. You could also melt it in a microwave in 30-second intervals if you're a big dumb cheater, but there's no fun in that. Having melted chocolate a handful of times in a double boiler before, I figured I'd mash up the chocolate bars a little bit to speed up the melting process. How did I go about doing that? Well, let me back up a little bit. So I find it odd how fancy chocolate bars are packaged. The chocolate I used, which was Ghirardelli, I think, was packaged in a thin layer of cardboard and then wrapped in gold foil. So I got each bar out of the cardboard, but decided to leave the foil on so when I smashed them into smaller pieces, the chocolate wouldn't fly all over the place. That's smart. Except I used a meat tenderizer to smash the chocolate, and this particular tenderizer has a side with like all these little tiny points on it. I didn't realize that. I thought I was just smashing it with a flat tenderizer, right? So I started swinging away at the chocolate, not realizing I was pulverizing these tiny little specks of gold foil deep into this chocolate bar. So thankfully, I realized what was happening and stopped after the first bar. I unwrapped it and spent 20 minutes meticulously picking out near microscopic specks of foil. Have I ever told you the joke about why Pollocks have flat foreheads, by the way? With that idiocy completed, the chocolate went into the double boiler. 5 minutes later, everything looked great. Next, the whipping cream and sugar went into another pot and cooked just long enough for the sugar to dissolve and for the mixture to thicken. The directions explicitly instructed not to let the cream come to a boil, and I was able to get it to steam without boiling. Everything was going great. The next part was tricky, if only because the directions didn't seem to make logical sense to me. So in the actual written story, I pasted the next step below. So I'll read it to you and you can feel my skepticism with me. Pour the cream onto the melted chocolate and mix with the spatula at the center of the bowl in small circles. You don't have to make large mixing motions. You'll see how the ganache comes together on its own. Okay. So look, my wife gives me all sorts of sass because I pride myself in mixing things to absolute perfection. For instance, when I open like a Greek yogurt and it's got like the 2 ounces of water on top of it, which is disgusting, by the way, I will stir it as long as I have to for all of those clumps to work out into a perfectly smooth consistency. My wife, who I love dearly, but who is also a savage, will stir her yogurt maybe once or twice and then just dive right in. It seriously makes me nauseous just thinking about it. Chunky yogurt. It's wrong. For the directions to tell me not to make large mixing motions sort of offended me, honestly. But the warning came with a promise. Quote, you'll see how the ganache comes together on its own. All right, I was intrigued. I figured I'd follow the directions and hope for the best. I poured the cream/sugar mixture into the melted chocolate and used a small spatula to make small circles. Much to my delight, the chocolate and cream started coming together beautifully, almost like they were drawn to each other. Like, I can't even explain it. You'll just have to try it for yourself. It was pretty cool, though, in a very nerdy sort of way. As I stirred, I must have had the goofiest look on my face, though, just full of delight and wonder. What the directions didn't mention, though, was that overstirring is not a good idea. The mixture came together and was completely smooth for about 4 stirs, but right before I stopped, it started to clump up. My delight and wonder turned into terror and eventually blinding rage. Too many stirs, and what had started as a ganache masterpiece turned into what looked like a chocolate gnocchi soup. Okay, not really rage. I guess I'd be lying if I said that, but I would not be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed. But while we're here, by the way, chocolate gnocchi soup, tell me you wouldn't try that. Liar. Finishing the tart. I poured my semi-chunky ganache into the chilled Oreo crumb base and smoothed it all out. I left it in the refrigerator overnight to allow the ganache to completely set. Like the famous poet Tom Petty used to lament, the waiting is the hardest part. I put a decent amount of time and effort into this tart, and the possibility that too many stirs ruined it drove me frickin' nuts. All I could do was hope for the best, and prepare mentally for the worst. And just right now, actually, I'm realizing that I haven't yet mentioned a key part of this entire exercise. I was making this tart for my wife's birthday dessert. There was a lot of self-imposed pressure to get it right. She wouldn't have cared, but as long as it had chocolate in it and it wasn't burned, she'd be fine with whatever. But I wanted it to be perfect. I realized I had a problem when I pulled the tart out of the fridge the next day. Evidently, some of the cream mixture had separated and formed a cloudy little layer on the edges of the tart. It somewhat ruined the aesthetic, but the rest of it looked great. I had sort of hoped it was no big deal when the ganache turned chunky, but it appeared my overmixing sort of broke the ganache, and it separated ever so slightly. A real bummer. Thankfully, my wife is more concerned with taste than presentation. I still had a good shot at it tasting great. The next day, once it was ready to enjoy, I garnished it with coarse sea salt, chopped pistachios, and fresh raspberries. Voila. All in all, it looked pretty awesome. The outcome. The moment of truth. Despite the ganache separating, would it still taste okay? Did I use enough salt? Or maybe I used too much? Did the Oreo crust set, or did I fail to use enough butter? Are there any foil flecks still in it? Oh god, please don't let there be any foil flecks in it. The tart tin I purchased has a pop-up bottom, so you can easily remove it from the ridged form without tearing up the tart. The crust was perfect. The ganache seemed set. All that was left was to taste it. I cut 2 way too big slices and served them up, singing happy birthday on my way to the dining room table. So, 9 out of 10, I'd rate it. It was really, really good. Aside from the diabetes sauce on the top, which is what I call the separated sugar cream, the tart was absolutely fantastic. The ganache itself was rich and smooth, the crust was perfection, and surprisingly enough, the raspberries and pistachios worked very well together, both in aesthetics and taste. And most importantly, my wife loved it. That's all that really matters here. I could spend another 400 words detailing all the little issues with it, but the pros far outweighed the cons in making this dessert. And that's what I'll choose to focus on. Next time, I'll learn from my mistakes and hit that 10 out of 10 mark. Although, next time, I'll definitely be using a recipe with standard measurements. Blue Diamond.